Thank you, Sarah. Let's turn to number 601. Number 601, as we stand tonight, before we have Brother Rosenkrantz come, number 601, constantly abiding as we stand.
There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I've a peace that has come there to stay.
Ever since I've been coming to church here, which has been a long time actually, the church has always endeavored to partner with missionaries or ministries in Israel whenever possible, with the idea that not only are we supposed to pray for Jerusalem and for Israel, but also to be part of seeing the gospel spread there. And Steve and Cindy are just a continuation of that in every way, and we're glad to have them here. I think you're going to be here for another 2 weeks, you said?
Yep, another 2 weeks, yep.
And then you're heading back. So come on up, Steve, and at the end, you'll have some time for some questions as well. There's prayer cards out in the back table for them. Be sure and grab one of those as well.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it. God bless you.
Well, yes, there is a Hebrew test coming. Remember the easy one. Remember, I know it's not morning, but remember how to say good morning. Just remember broken toe. That's right. Ms. Karen's got it. That's what you remember, broken toe, and that'll get you by. Say it fast enough, and Hebrew people, oh, broken toe. That's quick enough. But like I mentioned, I believe that you're going to be speaking it in heaven, so might as well get a head start. And I always admonish us to be working on our Hebrew. But it is, and some languages are more difficult to pick up, and I had to actually go back and look. I thought you guys were learning about how to operate IEDs, and I was kind of concerned right off the top. I wasn't exactly sure why you would be doing that. It happens a lot where we live, but it turns out I was mistaken. I should have been listening closer. It was AED, correct? Not IED. Okay. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between IED and AED, just like there's a lot of confusion when you get to words in Hebrew like Mazel Tov and Molotov, or you know they might sound close, but they're not actually. But it is a pleasure to be back with you, folks. In the last couple months, checking back in our with my mom that lives up in Yakima. As time goes along, she has addressed me several times as Bobby, which is her brother, instead of Steve. and In talking with my sister as mom is progressing through dementia, it is a blessing to have. It is a blessing to have family there. Amen. My mom lives at home, and my oldest sister Ruth lives with her. Has for several years after she came off the field in Brazil, and she is a talented caregiver. She's a world-class sports med person, and she lives with mom. But she was injured in a car accident in São Paulo, Brazil, where she was, and she is getting to the point where she is physically unable to assist mom in some capacities. My youngest sister Karen has had. Rheumatoid arthritis since she was 17 years old, so she is having difficulties as well, and I just like your prayer for our families, yes, I owe a debt to my sisters I can never repay, as I am 7,500 miles away and they are caring for my mother. I struggle with that, but I appreciate your prayers, and I know many cases there are those of you that struggle as well. So. We just continue to ask your prayer in that. So we thought we'd just we'd take a little bit of time and come out of the country and see what we can do. We're going back up again this week and seeing what we can assist with. There's some access things I think we're going to be able to accomplish, and then get back to Haifa and the excitement there. How many got to watch the embassy a change there? Boy, I tell you, we were in Jerusalem for that, and that was quite something. There was American flags; they were waving. We could only get about a block from the embassy because of the security, but it was wonderful to see the Israelis rejoicing that what had been promised decades ago is finally come to pass, and there's someone that finally did what they say they were going to do and did it. We were actually in Jerusalem the year before when that was announced, and boy, the place went crazy. I still have my kippah. Anybody go to Israel and get a kippah? You know, they call them yarmulkes. It's Yiddish, but that's all right. But they're called kippah in Hebrew. The head covering, and mine is bright red, and it's bright red. So that should give you an idea what's on it. And it says Trump 2016. It's a so. It's very obvious whether you're wearing a cap that says MAGA or you're wearing a Trump kippah, you know who you're for. And I've got a poster they put out for the big date. Anyway, it was quite exciting, and just to see that. And that was a secular event, and I understand that. And although it was exciting to see, the reaction of the Israeli people with the Israeli flags and the United States flags and all the banners that were hanging down from the street posts and all the buildings that says Trump make Israel great, and hallelujah, all these things that were they believe were were worth celebrating because of this. It is something that I believe that as a nation we should be concerned about, but as Pastor mentioned earlier, it's something as a church we should be concerned about. We should understand that there is a purpose and a reason that we should be reaching out to Jewish people. Chosen people though we might be, unless we choose Christ, we're lost. And you folks have been very, very involved in that in different outreaches and in different associations, and we appreciate that. And my love for Pastor Gilchrist will go on forever. As I mentioned before, he was the first person that I consulted when Cindy and I were thinking about doing this. Coming to his office and saying, Pastor, I'd just like to run this past you. So always very dear to me, as he is to you. So, and it's just going to be, and then that was reflected during this morning's message, was it not? Boy, I tell you, the uniqueness of Christ is something that transcends everything. And if you see, we have some of our cards in back on the table. I always travel with my holy, when we're in the States, I call it my holy rolling pin, if you've ever seen my scroll of the Book of Ruth. It looks more like a rolling pin than anything else, but it was written by a friend of ours who's a Torah scribe in Jerusalem, and it is the four chapters of the Book of Ruth. To me, as I mentioned to Pastor Randy tonight, it is my favorite book of the Bible, the Book of Ruth, because it establishes one of the things that Pastor was talking about this morning, that to redeem, to be able to redeem, and that's an interesting word. How many have ever got a coupon that you could take and redeem for your QPC? You have this coupon, it says QPC, right? And those of you that, that know what that means, that's a quarter pounder with cheese, okay? QPC. You get, you are, and when you redeem a coupon, it's not, you know, that someone has actually paid for that. That's something you just hand. It's not we don't redeem something and have to buy something else. That's religion. Huh? So redemption is a concept that is incredible in Scripture, but the concept that it requires a kinsman to redeem makes Christ unique. And that was, I as well as the rest of you, were absolutely reveling in that message this morning. And I think it's vitally important. That's one of the things that as we read through this four little chapters of the book of Ruth to our friend, the Torah scribe, Eli ben Yosef, And he'd never heard that before. Because to Eli, it was just about a love story. It's just about a harvest. And that's why they read it during the time of harvest, commonly known here in the States as Pentecost. Because it's just a story about a harvest. No, it transcends a harvest. It establishes one of the truths that Jewish people need to know. Yea, everyone needs to know. And that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh for a purpose. And as Randy and I were talking outside, in the foyer, could God have not just said, I forgive sin, and it's gone? He's God. He's omnipotent. He can do that. But because of his own word and because of his nature, I believe, God made it necessary that he had to come as a man because it requires a kinsman. And as Pastor has mentioned this morning, not by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own precious blood. As a matter of fact, in the next chapter, in chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says, the blood of goats and of calves cannot take away sin. It was never meant to. It cannot redeem with that. But it was a picture, an important picture. And those things, I think, are just wonderful to look at in Scripture. Brother Rick was talking in Sunday school class. How many were in Sunday school class this morning? I don't care which class you're in. I'm sorry, but ain't Sunday school class the place to be? I'm a Sunday school class fanatic. I love Sunday school class. You can trade. You can put out your marbles there and see what the other guy's got, and you can really, really dig in. And I love that. I appreciated Pastor Randy's class before we were here, Brother Rick's class, and it was neat to be able to see how God has established those things for us to learn from. And that's one of the things that we try to drive the conversation in Israel to the Scriptures, and I think it's important. Scriptures are the only source of life, and that's some of the things that Jewish people have a lot of difficulty with, is trying to recognize that there is something that is that kind of authority. Now, to us, you know, here at Temple Babel, when we regard the Scriptures, it is inspired, the inspired Word of God. It is all inspired, all the way through. The term they use, the plenary, okay. It is inspired from start to finish. It's inspired eternally, and we'll go on eternally. But the Jewish people, it's just a reference from the standpoint of a prophet that gave us that. And that's one of the things that sometimes is difficult in working with Jewish people, is to establish that this is the revelation of God to mankind about himself. Not just about himself, but about his reconciliation. How he reconciles mankind to himself, and as you folks, you know us, you know our hobby horses and some of these things. This you know, almost 4/5 of this is to and about the nation of Israel, rightly divided, okay. But that doesn't mean it's just about Israel. Oh no, and it's not just as is common here in the West to think that all this is about the church. Oh my goodness, no. It is all about God and God's redemption of mankind to himself through the sacrifice of his son. And that's why the uniqueness of Christ, that's why that rang in our hearts this morning. Amen? I tell you. Anything that is new, we'll talk about perhaps at the end. There's a lot of things going on. I just wanted to give you an idea of what's been going on. And then if I can take a brief time, I'm here till when? I have like 10 minutes more? Okay. I will take full advantage of all 10 of those minutes. I'd like to look at a picture, but just continue to pray for a couple things. Can I have my wife come up here, and so you can see her and you know? Yeah, I was going to say, do you want me to just do this?
I want the one with the purple because it goes with my outfit. test. It's not working.
Wait for it.
Now that I have you here, I do not preach, but I do share. Okay. One of the things that I would love for you all to do, which I'm sure you all are anyway, is to be praying for our neighbors. We can call them new, old neighbors, because God put us into our old building. And, I mean, it was totally God. It wasn't us. I mean, we were looking, and then, anyway. So maybe he'll explain that later, or maybe you have. Anyway, but if you could pray for Gall and Natalie, they have a few kids. They're Gall and his kids, I think they're watering my front flowers. I'm quite excited about this. Pray for Itzhak and Mazel. That's who we're renting our apartment from. Of course, Shmuel and Rivka and, I just want to say the Russians, and that's terrible to just say the Russians. Vadim and his wife and kids. And we have others. But we just praise the Lord that God kind of just put us in there. And we were looking. And you know what? I'm gonna finish here really quick. It's one of those things where you realize nothing happens until it's God's timing. And we wanted to be in our apartment, and we wanted to be in our apartment, and then when it's God, he calls you. Okay.
Here you go. You can turn it off. Bye. Thank you.
And it worked, that thing? That's okay. I don't know the difference between A, E, I, whatever. A, E, I, O, U. Yes, it is. We were also blessed as we came in and we saw your banner on prayer. You folks pray for people? Huh? Can I ask a question? Just have you think about this, and I didn't ask permission, but I'll do so carefully. How many of you live around anybody? A few of us. Okay. That's good. That's good news. How many have ever had anyone come and knock on your door on a Saturday, for instance? Huh? Yeah. And what was your reaction? You couldn't wait, right? You couldn't wait to get to the door. It's funny because Miss Cindy loves to give her testimony to those people who will wonderfully come appear at our doorstep. And it used to be quite something when you were in the stairwell between her and the front door. When someone knocked on a Saturday, she would come up those stairs ready to go, and she loves to tell people what the Lord did for her. I think that's important. But along with we're talking about prayer, can I just say this and I'll move on? But I just like you to think about this. What would it be like if we just reached out to those that lived around us, just reached out to our neighbors who know who we are? They do. Maybe not a whole lot, maybe just an acquaintance, but okay. And at least we'd introduce ourselves as neighbors and then say, you know what, we go to Temple Baptist Church and we believe God answers prayer. We pray for our country, we pray for our state, and I live here in this block and I pray for my neighbors. And I just wanted to find out, is there something that we at Temple Baptist Church can be praying for about in your family? Is there something for health or maybe work, or is there something that we can, because we believe God answers prayer and we will pray for that. We'll continue to pray for that until you tell us to quit. Because we believe that God is going to do a work, and we believe that prayer is the avenue to that. Is there something we can just pray for you about? And just keep us updated. We'd love to hear back. What would that be like? How would that change the complexion about someone coming and asking you asking for your time on your doorstep. Just to say, is there something that we at Temple Baptist, because we set aside time for this, and we will pray for that. And we'll pray for it faithfully and expect that God will answer that prayer. I wonder how that would change the complexion of people when we come to them. You know? Just a thought. Hey, I wanted to talk about one particular type tonight. And then, as Pastor mentioned, there might be a few questions afterward. If not, you know me, I can wax eloquent. Since I only have 9 minutes left, I think I'll move on. You know, isn't it interesting? As we come into the country, we see different things going on. We see different fads coming and going. We see different things that come and are taking our attention away, that are distracting us from our core issue. They're seeking to make take our time away from us and involve us in some cause or something that we need to go back to or something we need to change. And you know what? If you're going to take information like that, let's take it from here. Let's not take it from YouTube. YouTube is what we call it over there. So let's quit referencing these fads as they come through because they're distracting us. They're distracting us from the Word of God and becoming excelling in the Word of God, to be able to have a grasp on the Word of God. You know, it says in Amos chapter 8 that there's coming a time that there's a famine, not of bread, it says, but of hearing of the Word of God. And such a famine exists today here, people. It does. And as we look at these pictures in Scripture, and as we've heard them today, whether it's in Sunday school or whether it's in morning service, I'd just like to share one, and then we'll be done tonight, if that's okay, with 8.5 minutes left. If I can turn you to, let me start out. In Hebrews chapter 1, I love the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is an amazing chapter, but Hebrews chapter 1 has some of the three most incredible verses, I think, in the Scripture. And especially since it starts with God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners, because that's the way God has revealed Scripture to us. It's been a progressive revelation of who God is and how God is going to redeem mankind to himself. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir over all things, and by whom also he created the worlds. Now listen to these verses. Listen to them. And being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself the uniqueness of Christ, when he, nothing else, we had no involvement, we have no participation, by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Boy, let me tell you something, from the standpoint of God's desire to reveal himself to mankind, it has no peer. And God has done that in sundry times, in diverse manners. He's done that intentionally, and in calling the nation of Israel to do some very, very specific things. He called them, first of all, it says in Deuteronomy, in the book of Leviticus, it says he called them because he loved them. Well, that's an expression of grace right there. He loved them, not because they were the greatest of all people, but he loved them. And he called them to do some very specific things. Through them, if you remember the call of Abraham, through them will all the nations of the earth be blessed. He called them not just because they were the greatest, not just because they were the smartest, not just because of some spectacular reason, but he called them because he had a purpose for them. God had something for them to accomplish. He had for them to accomplish the bringing forth of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, his son, as we learned about this morning. A unique period of time in history. Matter of fact, it was accomplished when the fullness of time had come, right? And all those things that led up to that, the prophets in the past, and all those things were leading up to this one point where God was going to do this. But also he gave them something else of a responsibility. And this is many times not understood as much. Because did not the nation of Israel reject Jesus Christ? And many believe that the nation of Israel is blind in part or has been set aside because of their rejection. And you know what? That is partially true. How many here have ever rejected the Messiah? Rejected Jesus? Several of us have. Huh? Or are you all just one-timers? Oh, yeah. I'm coming up, Pastor, and stir them waters. You don't hear that too much anymore, do you? Up here in the Pacific Northwest. They did indeed, especially the leadership rejected the Messiah. But there was also a problem that I think even transcends that, is that they did not do what God called them to do. God called them to be a light to the nations, to be a light to the Gentiles. He gave them a purpose. This is what I want you to do. And he actually put them in a place where they could accomplish that effectively in this, what they call the navel of the earth, where all nations would come through. He put them there. He literally would dwell between the cherubim there in the either the tabernacle or in the temple, and Israel had the not just the opportunity, but I believe the responsibility to show the world who God was and how we approach God, how we can be reconciled to God, and gave them a system in the Old Covenant. There was a very, very specific system that was a picture of what he was going to one day accomplish in the unique sacrifice of his only begotten Son. That was what he was going to accomplish. And he gave Israel that responsibility, and he came into his own, and his own received him not. There were theirs that did receive him, but also they because, and believe me, Jewish people, we have no trouble with stiff necks, hard hearts, and murmuring. That's spiritual gifts amongst the Jewish people, it seems like. And not wonderful spiritual gifts either, but they're very characteristic. And some would say mankind, but Jewish people seem to excel in them. But also from the standpoint of doing what Christ wanted them to do, what God called them to do, not only themselves, but Satan was right there at every turn. Satan was going to defeat the plan of God. And let me tell you something, people, Satan is still going to try to do that. Satan is going to attempt to do that no matter what happens out there. And even though I think we have a chance in this country to breathe some fresh air for a change, we have to realize that one day all nations will come against Jerusalem. Isn't that foreboding? But while we still have time, and while the nation of Israel did not accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish, but we're playing synagogue, we better be careful not to be playing church. We better be careful to do what we are been called to do. In some cases, that might take sacrifice, and many of you know what that's like. Some cases, that might take realizing that God is not a priority. If God is a priority, we are idolatrous. Well, how'd that sound? Because priorities change. Because they get moved around because of those circumstances in our lives. God is not a priority. He is preeminent. And that is different. But in this society, we got used to priorities. People, we need to keep our focus and our attention and our faith founded in his word and focused on Christ. And there's things that we have in this country that will distract us, that are designed to distract us. Let's not be distracted by either ourselves or by the evil one who would do so. Okay? We have a lot to do. And I say that because I believe we have a timepiece in Israel, and we see that timepiece clicking away. We see that. We live in that time peace. And it's crazy to see the kind of things that are happening in Israel. We are struggling still with the issue of citizenship because of the blacklist that they came up with last year. And then here, a week and a half ago, they came up with the nationalistic law that is driving people crazy and making things more difficult because they're trying to overtake the Jewish people with different ethnicities there in Israel. And so they passed Israel is a Jewish state. Not that it's not been before, but they're trying to establish things that ensure that. There's only one thing that'll ensure that, and that's obeying God's scriptures and understanding what God's plan for us is. But it is fascinating to see these things come about. And the heart is hard. Let me give you an example. There was a Jewish man, successful in his insurance business. He came home from his work, and his son was there, and he said, "Dad, I'm on my summer break, but I wanted you to know that I have become a Christian." And the Jewish man said, "Oy vey." I mean, that's what we say. It's just, or "Oy vey." You hear that a lot too. "Oy vey, you're a Christian." And he tore his jacket in sign of mourning. He didn't know what to do. It's his only son. He put him through college. Oh, this is a tragedy. He goes to the rabbi and Rabbi, can you please help me? My son has become a Christian. He came home yesterday and he tells me that he is a Christian. What am I going to do? And the rabbi says, "Funny you should ask. My son too came home and said he's going to be a Christian. So I'm in mourning myself. I go to the only one who can answer such things. I go to God. And I say, Hashem, the name in Hebrew, you say Hashem. Elohim. My son, I don't know what to do. My son has become a Christian. Tell me what you would do." And you know what God said? He said, "Funny you should ask." Oh my. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, would you? I'll be brief here, but I just with 6 minutes left, I just love going through these things. The symbols that we see in Scripture are important. We need to handle some of these things carefully, and I always try to make sure what we do. I say 21. I'll take them off. Matthew 21, verse 18. I was in 22, and I'm going. "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city," now this is Christ going into Jerusalem from Bethany. "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, 'Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever.' And presently, the fig tree withered away. And when disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How soon is the fig tree withered away?'" Now, in scriptures, there's many, many pictures for the nation of Israel. We see them, but this is one of them that was established, that God gives us, that Israel is that fig tree. Now, what's the problem? Christ comes to the fig tree. He sees there's, how many have multiple seasons on some fruits here in the valley? Yeah, there's some things that this valley produces that just keep producing. One of them is zucchini. It's almost like Israel and quail. Stop. Stop. Matter of fact, I was telling someone this morning that in Tillamook County Fair in Oregon, the last night of Tillamook County Fair, it is legal to trespass on anyone's property or break into any without breaking, but enter anyone's vehicle or shed or anything to dump zucchini. A sheriff will not respond to any calls of someone zucchini dumping. The last night of Tillamook County Fair. It's just the last night. I thought it was they announced it at the fair. We're going, what did they say about zucchini? Well, last night at Tillamook County Fair, you can trespass just as long as you're getting rid of zucchini. You can go anywhere you want, dump it. And boy. In Israel, we have fig trees that give sometimes two, sometimes three crops. There's one that's usually harvested in the spring. Even though it's a spring, it is a crop that has been ripening through the early months, and there's still something there, and you will find, if you look at it, you'll find that there's an expectation there's going to be something there. There's going to be something to harvest. This had no fruit. Who do you think we're talking about? And God makes and in the New Covenant, Paul makes a very clear picture, and John makes a very clear picture of the tree, of the natural branches in Paul's letter, that little three-chapter speed bump in the book of Romans where those natural branches are cut off. And here we see those branches cut off. There was an expectation there would be fruit on them, and there was none. And I mean by fruit, I mean there's production. Now, accepting that God's going to send his Messiah is something that Jewish people say they believe in, even though they don't know anything about who to expect based on Scripture. And those of you that have been in Israel know what I'm talking about. You see people's faces plastered all over the roadsides, in the back of road signs, and all over the place, proclaiming this guy or that guy or this schmuck is the Messiah without having any biblical connection whatsoever of being the Messiah. And that's what the Scriptures laid down to the fathers by the prophets, is this is what God's plan is. This is where the plan is. And Jewish people have been told, no, you need to look at something else. No, you need to listen to someone who has more education than you, that has more understanding than you, that has a better spiritual standing than you to be able to understand what this really says. Because you're not capable of that. And that's religion. That's what an ism will do. It holds you in the grasp of separating you from the truth of God's word, and many times substituting some other text that is something you need to understand. You see it all over the place. And then another passage from Pastor's message this morning that was quoted, that they will substitute another mediator that you go to, a rabbi, a priest, an elder, someone else that you have to answer to that will mediate for you. But there's just one God and one mediator between God and man. And this speaks to this uniqueness, does it not? The man, Christ Jesus. That says volumes. That says volumes about the love of God, because we need to realize God just did not send his son, who became man for 33 plus years, and now it's over and he's back the way he used to be. He exists today as a glorified redeemer, our mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Have you ever thought about it like that? Have you ever thought about that? That sacrifice that Christ made because he loved us so much, he, yes, ever liveth, but ever liveth as our Savior, Jesus Christ, the man, God. Wow. So Israel had that responsibility. They were to produce. They were to be that light. They were to send that message that this is what God's plan is, and then this is what happened. Now, I'm going to end with this, because I don't want to take too much time in... I'm going to skip way ahead. In my 5 minutes left, We've seen, and I'm skipping through a lot of things, but I just want to cement this. We've seen the withered fig tree because the expectation of production was not there. But then all of a sudden, we see, and remember to use care when you're working with parables. Okay? We've talked about this before, and we need to understand what parables are. How many remember this and can say it with me? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay? Understand biblically what a parable is. Okay? According to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a parable is to unbelieving Israel. That's Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, when one of the disciples, probably Peter in my opinion, goes and says, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he talks about, well, has the prophet Isaiah spoken that in seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them. Be careful in regards to applying parables, okay? Just understand that. Can we apply them? Can we learn from them? We can, but we need to do so judiciously. Now, in dealing with a fig tree in Matthew chapter 24 and 25 is part of a trilogy. Matthew 24 and 25, Mark 13 and 14, Luke 21 and 22 talk about what's called the Olivet Discourse. The Olivet Discourse is a very specific set of scriptures and has a very specific application, and we have to be careful how we apply them, lest we, an example of the parable of the talents, lest we make that about the church. Now, how many have heard the parable of talents? We all have. We need to be careful with the parable of talents because what happens to the guy that only has one? He has five. He has two. I have one. The master comes. Now, first, he gives only to those that are his servants, right? And the master comes. He got five. Got five more. Two, got two more. What did I say? Well, I know that you're a hard master. You know the passage there. And what happens to me? What happens in my case? I have my talent taken away from me, given to the one with 10, and I am bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness. See what I mean? Now, you could try all sorts of gymnastics, and I've heard people do it, trying to explain that the guy that had one was not really a servant. So you're saying the master doesn't know his servants? Please, please be careful in these regards. Just understand that. Understand the biblical definition of what a parable is and how a parable is applied. Here in Matthew 24, verse 32 and 33, it says, Matthew 24, 32 through 35 says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye see all these things." Now what is it talking about, all these things? This is the Matthew 24 that you hear many, many times applied to the church mistakenly. This is not a passage being applied to the church. This is a passage being specifically applied to the nation of Israel. Okay? "When you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you," and this is a famous, the famous misuse of that, "this generation shall not pass without seeing," until "all these things be fulfilled." I'm going to leave it there. But there's an expectation of this fig tree. When you see these things coming, when you see these leaves, oh, hold it. Now, who's the fig tree here? Is it a different fig tree? No, this is Israel. This is still Israel. How can this be Israel if afore it was withered away? It's Israel because, just as Paul mentions, that there was a purpose in cutting off the branches of Israel. The natural branches were cut off. And remember what he says there? Don't boast against the natural branches. Well, they be cut off so the gospel be preached unto you. God knew what Israel was going to do. God knew that Israel was going to be Jewish. was going to just figure some way to turn it into a religion. That's just that's a human characteristic, and not do what he was called to do. And yet we see that they will one time, and during what I believe this passage is talking about, the 70th week of Daniel, which I believe we are on the doorstep of, we see Israel again with that expectation of production. And yay, I believe they are going to produce. The 144,000 are going to be evangelists. Can you imagine anyone? Who's your most zealous evangelist you've ever had in here? I mean zealous. We're talking this guy is just, he is just evangelist squared. We know a guy named Randy Chauvin. Anyone know Randy Chauvin? Can you imagine 144,000 of that character? Let alone 144,000 John the Baptist. Someone who has a zeal to go out, and this is what I believe we're seeing here. And all I want to leave with you tonight, these things that we're seeing from the standpoint of the nation of Israel are those things that the fig tree is designed to produce in a picture that God is about to take up his plan with the nation of Israel. And my concern is, as the body of Christ, which is neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female, it doesn't matter what you are that in the body of Christ, that we will soon see our Savior. And if that is the case, what's the scorecard going to read? What does it look like we've done? Because the nation of Israel was called to do this, and they weren't indwelt by the Spirit of God. We are. We just need to realize how much that we have an opportunity to do, and I believe the privilege to do for our Lord and Savior in producing what the Lord would have for us to do. And you know what? That is 1, 2, 5. It's not a matter of numbers. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of response to what the Lord has given you. And there are some places where you can go that are very, very difficult. Europe is very, very difficult. Israel is, just ask Ezekiel, is very, very difficult. But it doesn't matter. When God calls you to do something, just do it. Don't worry about the response. You have Jonah on one hand who didn't want to go and then just threw a pity party because God did save. And then you have Nahum, on the other hand, who did not take a trip the opposite direction. He went where he was supposed to go, preached what he was supposed to preach. And no one was saved, and God destroyed the city. Who was the faithful prophet? No matter what, when we're thinking about making a difference and praying for our community and finding out if there's some way that we can let people know that our faith is based on a God who answers prayer, and we will pray for that. We'll pray for you. We don't have to pray for you by name, but I want you to know we are going to be praying for that faithfully. And I'd sure like an update, if you don't mind me calling back or coming by, just to find out. Because down here, down the street, Marge's husband just got a job. We believe God moves like that. How will that affect our community? I think it will. And when we see these... when we see these times where Israel is coming to the point where, this point in history where it is indeed a cup of trembling, and we see, and literally trembling, last 3 weeks we've had 2 earthquakes in the Kinneret, in the Galilee, right around the center of the Galilee. Things are happening very, very quickly. Things that were prophesied to happen are coming about. We can see these signs. What are we doing? Are we actually taking up our responsibility and the privilege of doing what God has called for us to do? I just wanted to challenge us tonight in that regard. I just wanted us to realize that this is not just going to go on forever and ever, that God has called us to be ministers of reconciliation. Let's do that. Let's reach out some way. It might be simple, and it is simple. Let the Spirit of God prepare the heart. Don't walk over the Spirit. Don't do that. Let the Spirit of God prepare the heart, but be ready with that answer. Be ready with that testimony. It's the most powerful tool a Christian has is his testimony. And let them know that we care. Let them know that God loves them. Let them know that God answers prayer. And if there's any way we can tell them what happened to me is what God has offered them, we'd like to tell them. And let's make a difference. Let's not be in a position, and we will be, where we stand in front of the fires, and one side we have wood, hay, and stubble, and the other side we have those things that will endure because they were done by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for, Lord, your word. Lord, this brief picture in regards to the fig tree. There's so many other things, Lord, I needed to say, but Lord, just we thank you that, Lord, you've given us these symbols and these figures and these pictures, and Lord, you want us to learn from them. But Lord, most of all, we learn that you are faithful. And Lord, most of all, we see that you are a loving God who desires to be reconciled to those that you have paid the price for with your own blood, the blood of your own Son. And Lord, we thank you for that expression of love. Lord, we thank you for the ministries of Temple Baptist. We thank you for the opportunities for outreach that take advantage of. And Lord, we just thank you for being a part of their outreach in the world where you have sent us. Lord, just ask, Lord, that you would continue to prosper and, Lord, produce fruit in regards to Temple Baptist. And Lord, we just pray that you would increase, Lord, our desire to be in your word and to be skilled in your word and to know it, and Lord, and to be able to share it. And Lord, these are interesting times, and Lord, I just ask that you would create that kind of hunger within us. Lord, thank you again for the opportunities. Thank you again for the messages we heard today. We pray again in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Okay, we have 1 minute left for questions. Just to give you an idea, we live about 30 miles from the Golan, and the Golan is now occupied by four forces. By the Russians, by the Assad regime, the Iranian Republican Guard, and also by ISIL are now in the Golan. Now, those of you that know the map, up in the Golan Heights, up in northeast Israel, you have the Israel Golan, which they took back in the Six-Day War. Remember that? That area up there. But that area has actually three sections. It's the Israeli Golan, a buffer zone Golan, and then what's called the Syrian Golan, okay? That buffer zone, those occupying forces that came in to that supposed to be buffer zone asked the UN to leave, and of course, anybody asked the UN to leave, they will go. And so that is now being occupied by those four forces. 24 miles above us is Lebanon, where Hezbollah is chopping at the bit to really see things in the south, and I mean talking about Gaza, light up. And those things, if you've been following this, here back, this we have on our cell phones, but we use over in Israel as well, we have an application that tells us when there's a missile rocket fired, whether it's Iron Dome, whether it's Patriot, our phones were just ringing all day. There was over 200 launchings from Gaza into Beersheba and then areas around Ashkelon, Ashdod, Sderot, those areas around there. The kids, especially in Sderot and Kfar Morchai, are spending their fifth summer underground. They can't get out for the summer break. They actually have built underground playgrounds with their underground schools. And that's where most of the kids now spend their summers, are in these basically underground playground shelters, basically. So this is heating up with all the fires that are going on. There's a tremendous, we've seen fires around here. Boy, as Brother Rick mentioned this morning, that was, you know, people, there was some people who lost their homes and it was coming for his direction. And this is going on because of all these incendiary kites that are being sent across, and they're trying to elicit an Israeli response that's going to involve the Israeli military, and that is what I think the North is waiting for. If you remember a guy named Abu Ammar, if you you probably know him better here in the West as Yasser Arafat, his position was if we could get Israel to split their forces. If we can open two fronts at once, we can finally defeat the Jews and throw them into the sea. And this is something that, whether it's Hamas in the south, or whether it's Hezbollah in the north, or you know, in Syria, or ISIL there, is you know, taking advantage of. You know, it's funny that these forces hate each other, it seems like. You would see them on the surface, except for one thing. They all have a common hate, and that's the nation of Israel. So it's just interesting to see what's going on there. Here 2 months ago, the Northern Command asked that we make sure our bomb shelters. I actually have a little video of how long it took us to get down to in our apartment complex. We have a bomb shelter in the basement, and how long it takes us to get out of our gate and go down to the bomb shelter. It was stuffed with our next door neighbor's stuff. He used it as his own storage. And then his mom, when the Northern Command order came through, his mom put the mom finger up and made him clean it all out because it's the bomb shelter for our building. And so he was out there cleaning it out. If you have a safe room, some places don't have bomb shelters. You have a safe room in the newer apartments, and each apartment has its own safe room to stock it, get ready for it. Northern Command is expecting there's going to be some action. It's going to be interesting because, you know what, Israelis are so nonchalant. Those of you who have been in Israel, it's just kind of, you know. But you know, when you're under fire, that's serious. And to us as believers, that's opportunity. There's opportunity while our neighbor is cleaning out his bomb shelters to talk to him, or to talk to Shmuel Altsman, as Cindy mentioned earlier, our friend who's been in all of Israel's wars. He's 97 years old, going on 97, born in Jerusalem. He's been in them all, and knows that this is coming, but thinks that, it's not going to be a problem. But if anyone has any questions, I don't want to keep you any longer than I already have. We have that 30 seconds left, like I said. And anyone have any questions specific in regards to Israel? Rick and back, I see your hand first. Well, it's interesting you said they're way up in the north. From the standpoint of what you see in Syria and those forces that you see, and you know, I've written about this in our prayer letter in regards to the man who would be Gog. You know, there's so many people that have come and gone from the standpoint of who that person is. Remember, just be careful by saying it's this guy or it's this guy. Because Gog, we see a Gog again at the end of the millennium. So, careful that you say, well, Putin comes back. Not sure. But from the standpoint of Russia's involvement and those that are part of that group of people that are called in scriptures Scythians, in the Caucasus, a brutal people, and many of those are involved from that area, in that area of Russia and Syria, in that area there, that would want to come down. And it says to come down and take a spoil. And just off the coast, 3 kilometers off the coast in Haifa, they're now trying to put up a platform for natural gas, probably one of the biggest natural gas fields that they have in the Mediterranean. The amount of things that Israel produces is quite a prize. And so whoever can control that, because that's what the United States has been doing. You know, we get so upset, you know, oh, man, look at those Russians. They're always in our elections. Please. When the Clinton administration sent, you know, the raging Cajun, Jim Carville, to collapse the Netanyahu presidency in 2000. And then the last administration sends his operators to go and register Arab voters to try to overthrow the majority in the Knesset. And right now, one-third of the Knesset, one-third of the democratically elected Knesset is Arab. How's that for apartheid? And try to find that many Jewish people that sit in the councils in a Palestinian area. You want to see apartheid? We can show you apartheid. You know, it's amazing. Yes. Pastor Mike. Well, not opposed, but they're opposed to Israel, yeah.
Oh, Israel doesn't have a force in there.
No.
Oh, okay. So they're just four forces that
are represented there, yeah.
There's no buffer zone.
They just have occupied it. Boy, there's a lot of that going on over there. It's kind of funny that those of you that follow this, here a month and a half ago, Israel went in overnight into southern Syria. And guess what they dropped? They dropped 300 tents. They dropped 15 tons of medical supplies and 150 tons of food. That's what happens. Israel right now has 5 mobile hospitals on the Golan. You can see them from different places where some of you have been. And if you need medical help that doesn't give you access to the country, sorry, because Israel has borders, but they will treat you. They will treat you. And it's just absolutely amazing what they're doing, and it has not been reported. And that's what happens right now. And true enough, as I mentioned to some of you, Israel goes almost nightly into Syria with their new F-35s. They can't see them, and they've actually fired into Iran from Syria with those. You can hear them just over the Carmel from us is where the Ramat David Air Base in the north is, and you can hear them. You can hear their signature when they take off. You can tell the difference between an F-16 lighting up and an F-35, and you could hear them fly right over our apartment building to go out to the ocean if they're practicing. But these guys aren't practicing. They're going they're going north, and it's interesting. It's interesting how that's going to end up, especially with what's coming. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Boy, that's an interesting question, and I'll just I say that because of this, and we have to be careful. And you all understand this here. Those of you that are believers understand when you say the term Christian, what are you talking about? Okay, understand in Israel to Jewish people, when you say Christian, we think Catholic, because that's the experience amongst Jewish people. Okay, you think that we are Christ killers. And that's the regard. So when you hear reports about anything in regards to Christian in the Middle East, amongst the Bible believers, we think Christians like we are, and very, very few of those are born-again, Bible-believing, those that accepted Jesus Christ. Most of those are Catholics. In Egypt, of course, you have the Coptics, you have Eastern Orthodox, you have Russian Orthodox, very powerful in that area. So from the standpoint of your question, and you qualified that, and that's why I asked, you're probably a fraction of 1% in Israel. And understand in Israel, because we are this fall going to be going through our constitution for our the establishment of our first congregation there in Haifa. It's going to be small, but we're looking forward to that. But the most churches that are there that would call themselves Bible-believing Christians are actually what's called Pentecostal. Or charismatic. It's very, very typical in Israel because to Greeks seek after knowledge and the Jews, and boy howdy, you start busting those things out, and we'll have the praise hankies and the shofars out, and oh my. You know what I mean? It's you know, but again, distraction. I'm sorry.
Because of the Catholic Crusades, the Arabs have a view of us that really isn't true. They think that the Catholics were Christians, which they were not, and that's how they view us as Christians.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that fuels the hatred towards us.
And that's very true. And from the standpoint of understanding the situation with the Crusades and the how that and the Middle Eastern people, the Arabs, and more properly Muslims. How they had the conflict with the Catholics that came down, and of course in the 10th through 13th centuries, all that going back and forth and things like that, and that's true enough. But remember, most of that, right, what we see today from the standpoint of ISIL, remember what ISIL stands for. We hear ISIS, but remember during the previous administration, the president of the United States and one other guy in his cabinet actually used the term ISIL, not ISIS, ISIL, which stands for the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, which is very, very peculiar. I put that on, if you remember, I put that up on a slide, what the Levant is. That encompasses all of the nation of Israel, some of northeastern Egypt and some of northwestern Saudi Arabia, actually. And that was promised to them by the British and the French and the Russians in 1917. It's called the Sykes-Picot Agreement. And they promised, because of, remember Lawrence of Arabia? T.E. Lawrence, remember him? He promised the Arabs to get them to join in the battle against the Ottoman Empire. The Brits promised the Arabs this land. Of course, then you had the Balfour Declaration, which promised the Jews this land. And you have all this trading going on that really has that's why ISIL is so intent on taking over, and for the most part has almost succeeded in Great Britain. You understand that? Because of the failure to keep its promises to give them what they believe is theirs, let alone the Arab countries as a whole. Boy, this is interesting from the standpoint of geopolitical, but you know what? We know these people groups. We know these people groups. We know where they came from. We know what God has said about them. There are those that are stiff-necked, and there are those that are considered wild asses of people. You know what I'm saying? And just remember that God promised to provide for them, too. We regard Islam as the darkest thing we have ever seen. But our Savior died for those people as much as he did for us. Anybody else? Sorry. Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
You mentioned a couple of times about the signs that you've seen. Can you give us a few?
Well, just from the standpoint of the relationship with Israel, there's now not just an ethnic anti-Semitism that is on the rise, it is also theological anti-Semitism. You don't have to look very, very long, but that we have received numerous emails from concerned believers here in the United States saying, have you seen this guy? He's a Baptist preacher in a church down in the South, and he's saying that Israel, God is through with Israel. And he makes a very compelling case. And he does. He has several videos out there, marching to Zion, the hoax of the Holocaust, many of these things, proving that that never happened. And there's many people that have done that. And that's theological anti-Semitism from the standpoint of believing it. And that is driving this force, I mentioned tonight, from the standpoint of all nations coming against Jerusalem. And that's the perspective. I mean, you don't have to look far in the papers. One of the guys in the Labour Party of the Parliament in Great Britain has actually gone to, in Tunisia, went to the suicide bomber that killed 17 kids in the Sabara restaurant in Israel, in Tel Aviv. And he's there honoring the guy. And he denies it, but I mean he did it. I mean there's evidence that he did it. Also, from the standpoint, there are now more Jewish people in Israel than outside of Israel. That's kind of an interesting phenomenon that's happened in the last 10 years. That wasn't true 10 years ago, but it is today. Jewish people are coming back. They're still coming back by the thousands each month into Israel. It's because they don't feel safe anywhere else, and God is indeed drawing them back from the standpoint of coming back into the land. From the standpoint of other nations, we were talking about the issues of Russia and Syria, what was called the kings of the north. From the standpoint of their relationship and their desire to come down, that there's a buildup going on that makes the Six-Day War, look like a sandlot skirmish. There's so much weaponry now that is on the borders. Something's going to happen sometime from the standpoint of that's going to light that fire. And I personally believe that we're in the times where we're going to see a battle. Next thing we're going to see, people, I believe, is going to be a battle. I believe there's so much incitement from the Muslim imams. When we were there at the embassy, near the embassy, and the American flags were being waved, and the Israeli flags were being waved, and all of a sudden there broke out they came marching down. They were allowed to, but you can't incite. And they had their Palestinian flags, wherever that is, and they had their Palestinian flags that were waving, and then they started shouting and beating drums, and okay, you're free to do that in Israel. But you can't incite, especially not on property around an embassy, and especially not now. And so all this was going on, and all of a sudden they brought in some imams with bullhorns, and they started really preaching. And the thing that was fascinating is half of the people in this protest were Jewish people. Were Jewish people. It's crazy. But But there they were, and they had. I've got signs. I think I put one in their prayer letter. They had all these signs. Trump is a schmuck. I thought, well, you might get some agreement in some places here in the States, but you know that was it was. But they had, and then some signs that were very, very, you know, terrible things that were said. But one of those things that is occurring more and more and more that is putting the government on a footing where they're going to have to do something, especially like I mentioned in the South, in the Gaza area. Something has to break and something has to stop. And the Arabs know that they have an opportunity here to divide Israel into two fronts. So some of those things that we see occurring and coalescing in the nation of Israel right now, I just think are fascinating, are part of those things that we see of that cup of trembling that Jerusalem is. Anybody else? You guys are so nice. You guys are, you know, you have 15 seconds. Pastor Mike. No. Yeah, Phoenix. Yeah, there's one up in Montana too. He's written a book. I have a Pastor Quains, I wish I could call him a friend. I don't get to see him, but that is in southwest of Jerusalem. He wrote a book several years ago, good book, named Judaism is Not Jewish, and it's a wonderful book. It confronts the issue that is a fad here in the United States of getting back to our Jewish roots. In his book, he says, we don't need to go back to those things that led us away from the scriptures in the first place. What are we doing? Judaism led us away from our Savior, our God. We don't need to get back to the Hebrew roots movement people. We see that all over the nation. There's churches that have had families leave to, you know, get back to this. You want to get back to something? Let's get back to this. Let's get back to understanding what God wants us to understand. Well, God will take care of the Hebrew. Okay, all right. He'll take care of that. I just think in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, and you guys will all be spitting and just be great. But, you Hebrew speakers know what I'm talking about. This kind of attitude is prevalent, and Baruch Moos is a real, has put out a wonderful book in regards to, you know, some of those issues and Hebrew roots and things like that. We don't need to get back to being Jewish. We need to get back to being biblicist. And that's the famine, though, I mentioned earlier in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Anybody else? Once, twice, God bless you. And that was just question and answer. We've already prayed, so you guys can just bust out of here with that 2 seconds left, and you're done. Thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for our nations. We have a very peculiar opportunity here in the U.S. And remember, it's not the executive branch that sets foreign policy. That's the State Department. Okay? And even though Pompeo and we have the present administration that we have, the old guard in the State Department is still trying to enforce two-state solution. Matter of fact, when Trump went to Israel last year, the consulate, it was at that time, the U.S. consulate would not let Israeli staffers accompany Trump down to the Western Wall because the U.S. consulate said, that is not your land, to the Jewish people. Okay, that's State Department stuff. They've been anti-Semitic for 45 years. And I just hope that we see, like I said, I think, don't you think like we've been given a short breath of fresh air, don't you think? I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't vote for the guy. I can't vote for someone like that. But I do pray for him. I do pray that the Lord will prosper him, because it's God who sets up kings and takes down kings, people. Okay? I mean, it's God who put the previous administration there, yes? Okay? So, but this, we appear that the Lord is, I mean, he put, remember when Daniel took that old scroll up to King Cyrus there in Isaiah and said, I've called you, you know, before you were born. I knew you. That's the way God is. He's like that. And even though we see some things that are, you know, that are not very seemly, that are not very Christian-like or anything like that, these things, God rules in the hearts of men. And his will be done. Amen. But while we have this chance to maybe breathe freely, let's continue to see what we can do. Let me continue to see some fruit. Let's continue to see some activity, and the Lord will honor that. And zucchini. All right, you guys. God bless you. Thank you again. Thank you again for your prayers, and continue to pray again, like I said, for our countries, United States, and the nation of Israel, and those people that labor, those people you support. It is so wonderful to be able to dial up. And hear the words of a friend. That prays for us. Because we pray for you too. You are missionaries as well. You are in a battle as well. You are facing oppression many times that we don't understand here in the West, because we think we live under the blessing of God and don't know a curse when we see it. Please understand that.